Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It is sometimes thought by some that the only difference between the Christian church and churches of Christ is the use of the mechanical instrument of music in worship. We hope to make clear that this does not reveal the entire picture. Now, we do not take any pleasure in noting religious differences, inasmuch as we know the Lord is pleased when there is unity. But there is a difference between truth and error, and to teach the full truth, the error must be exposed and opposed. Now, while there are similarities between these two churches, there are significant differences that cannot be overlooked. In the last part of the 18th century, there arose men who recognized the sinfulness of denominationalism and religious division, and they proposed religious unity based on the Word of God. In the early 19th century, there were men like Barton W. Stone in Kentucky who led a movement of people who called themselves the Christian Church and Christians. And while later there came Alexander Campbell in Pennsylvania and Virginia who had a similar plea to Stone, and they called themselves disciples. When there was the eventual contact between the two groups in 1832, it was determined that they believed many things alike and began discussing their differences, which were gradually resolved as they contended that unity must be based on the authority of the Scriptures. And the two groups merged into one and remained in unity from 1832 to 1849. Their goal was to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. They promoted unity in matters of faith and charity in matters of human opinion. They were simply intent on restoring New Testament Christianity. They called themselves by the biblical name of Christian, and they sought not to erect another denomination, to be sure, but to restore the New Testament church by following the New Testament pattern. And there was not only unity, but tremendous growth in what is now looked upon historically as the Restoration Movement, efforts to restore New Testament Christianity. Now there arose divisions among those who sought the restoration of the faith of Christ, and out of these differences have come the distinction between the Christian Church and churches of Christ. There are a number of wide gaps between the two groups. But fundamentally, the real division is over the attitude toward the Bible. The difference between the churches of Christ and the Christian church is much the same as between churches of Christ and other denominational bodies. It is the attitude toward the Scriptures. Members of the Church of Christ would contend as Peter taught, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. There should be no additions or subtractions or substitutions or alterations from the Bible. There must be Bible authority for what is done and what is taught. In other words, the motto of speaking where the Bible speaks has remained the watchword of churches of Christ. And on the other hand, those of the Christian church adopted the attitude that man is permitted to do whatever God does not specifically prohibit. If Scripture, they said, does not expressly forbid something, then we're at liberty to do it if we see fit. To summarize briefly these two attitudes, churches of Christ contend that we must go by what the Bible teaches, while the Christian church contends we're permitted to go by what the Bible does not prohibit. The result has been an ever-widening gap in practice, in doctrine, in faith, and in position. It is not unfair to say that the Christian church in my lifetime has drifted more and more away from the Bible as authority, and they have patterned themselves after the denominations round about them. They even now admit to being just another denomination among denominations. And while there are some Christian churches that like to be known as conservative Christian churches, and some even wear the name Churches of Christ, the basic position regarding the Bible is still there, and it's just a matter of time until the differences between you and those groups and churches of Christ will become more pronounced. Now, the first major division came over the introduction of missionary societies. Until 1849, the Restoration Movement was not troubled by such things. A man named David S. Burnett, formerly a Baptist, promoted the idea and promised on his sickbed in 1845 to start a missionary society, and he got it going in 1849 to the disruption of the peace among brethren. While the missionary society advocates claim it was but a simple method for doing mission work, it was more than that. There's nothing wrong in legitimate methods or doing things decently and orderly. Certainly spreading the gospel is the work of the church. Nor is there anything wrong with churches cooperating in doing such work, because New Testament churches work together in accomplishing the mission of the church, sharing and giving and receiving one from another to spread the cause of Christ. But the missionary society was a structure that displaced the church and was without biblical authority. It even had delegates from various congregations to meet and make decisions with which churches who were members of the society were obligated to conform. The society became a legislative body, usurping the authority of local elderships, violating the local church autonomy which the New Testament teaches. God set up a system of elders over the local church, and each church was meant to be independently governed. However, under the missionary society, delegates of many churches made the decisions what the local churches were to do, and they even began to hire and fire preachers, telling them when and where and what to teach and preach. Some even advocated assigning the amounts of contribution to the society that each church was expected to contribute. The missionary society became a wedge that split the Restoration Movement. And about 10 years later, another innovation of denominational imitation was forced upon churches. And this was the mechanical instrument of music in the worship of God. Now, while the scriptures authorized singing, the instrument produced another kind of music that God did not authorize. Those who were determined to stay with the scriptures rejected the instrument. Those who had the philosophy that they could do whatever was not expressly forbidden moved it in. And this human innovation completed the division between the two groups. It was the result of some abandoning the necessity for biblical authority. And through the years, since the early part of the 20th century, other divisions have come forth, as could be expected, because once you leave the necessity for biblical authority, there is no limit to which people can and will go. There has been a change in the government of local congregations among many Christian churches, away from elderships to governing boards that include both men and women. Women cannot be elders, nor can they take authority over men, and yet the Christian church does it anyway. Some years ago, I lived in South Bend, Indiana, and a woman from the local Christian church called me by telephone. She was disturbed because the board of their church proposed to place a woman as chairman of the board. Now, this woman was already on the board, but this caller thought that it would be wrong because she would then have authority over men, which Paul specifically forbids. Well, I told her not to object. They already left the Bible by having a board, and by having a woman on it. They would not aggravate the sins among them any more by letting her be top man. She got the point. But you know she went along with them anyway. The Christian church has established another office in the church in addition to elder and deacon, with that which is called deaconess. Friends, such is not authorized in the scripture. Women serve, but not as some kind of female counterpart to a male deacon. Decisions in many Christian churches are made on the basis of majority rule, voting, and sometimes by preacher rule. Majority rule was the way the instrument got into many places. The Lord's plan is that elderships have the oversight, but some wanted a democracy, and they changed things. And some Christian churches, not all, but some teach tithing as God's law for today, borrowing a portion of the Mosaic law, even though that law was nailed to the cross. And there is fellowship and cooperation with Christian churches with the false teachers of denominationalism. Their ministers are members of local ministerial associations alongside all the other clergymen, and they often are heard to exchange pulpits. They promote religious meetings together, even though some participants have not even obeyed the gospel and are not even Christians in the New Testament use of the term. There have been instances where Christian church preachers have even exchanged pulpits with a Jewish rabbi, one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And friend, it is true that modernism and liberalism runs rampant among many Christian churches to such an extent that the inspiration of the Bible, the deity of Christ, His virgin birth, the historicity of miracles is all denied. Their preachers have copied the denominational clergy in the wearing of titles and robes, calling themselves pastor and reverend. Many churches most often observe special religious holy days for which there is no biblical authority. They recognize Easter and Christmas and Lent and on and on. It's not uncommon for them to celebrate these unscriptural celebrations in fellowship with all other denominations. And all they're doing is nibbling at Roman Catholic traditions. They've left the Bible. They're following men. Open membership is acceptable to some Christian churches today. Open membership simply means one must say he believes in Christ, and baptism is no longer necessary for one to be accepted into the fellowship of some Christian churches. In fact, some of my own kin were accepted into a Christian church on the basis of having been sprinkled as a child. The Christian church long ago went in big for entertainment and social events, playgrounds and gymnasium promotions, sponsoring the Boy Scouts and Little League ball teams and such as that. Following their philosophy of doing whatever is not specifically forbidden, there is no limit to which they can involve themselves in anything, regardless of what the Scripture denotes as the work of the church. Friends, these are noticeable in the occlusion of women preachers and song leaders. There are many things that now divide the churches of Christ from the Christian churches. Let me go back just a little bit and say that there are many things that divide faithful churches of Christ from the Christian church denomination. It is one of the tragedies of my life to have to observe so many who were once faithful adopt a plan and a pattern and a practice and preaching of the digressions and apostasies of the Christian church. Some have taken in the mechanical instrument. Some churches are building their own gymnasiums. They have their own church league ball teams. There is what is called youth church and children's church, separate from the assembly. Women are teaching in the presence of men. Churches are getting a larger and larger staff with titles galore for each official. Acceptance of triune baptism has even been advocated. Acceptance of baptism as taught and practiced by Baptists is advocated. Celebration of the holy days and fellowship with denominational clergymen has become the end thing with some of the more with it brethren. They have become as removed from the truth as the Christian churches ever thought about doing. They have left the need for authority. They are doing their own thing. And some of the biggest names among us have appeared on the programs of the Christian church designed to promote the growth of the Christian church. And yet these same apostates are on some college lectureships, in the Brotherhood papers, invited for gospel meetings, as if they were sound in the faith. The go-along-ism that has stained some churches of Christ in recent years has blurred the differences between the Christian church denomination and what some still prefer to be called churches of Christ. But my beloved, there is no compromise between truth and error if we be faithful to God. And as long as time lasts, the difference between the Christian churches and that which our Lord purchased with His blood will be distinct in the minds of those who still love the Word of God. And we've not been able to discuss the pros and cons of each issue in this one lesson, but we've only noted that the differences exist. But the arguments are discussed in various other lessons from time to time, Because, friend, whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of, which simply means by the authority of, the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17. And therein lies the basic difference between the Christian churches and churches of Christ. Churches of Christ go by thus saith the Lord. Christian churches contend they can do whatever is not specifically forbidden. The attitude toward the Bible is the real difference. We must do as Peter said. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.